A reading from the Exodus, chapter 24, verses 3 through 8. When Moses went out and told the people all the Lord's words and laws, they responded with one voice, "Everything the Lord has said, we will do." Moses then wrote down everything the Lord had said. He got up early the next morning and built an altar at the foot of the mountain and set up 12 stone pillars to represent the 12 tribes of Israel. Then he sent out young Israelite men, and they offered burnt offerings. They sacrificed young bulls as fellowship offerings to the Lord. Moses took half of the blood and put it in a bowl. The other half he sprinkled on the altar. Then he took the book of the covenant and read it to the people. They responded, "We will do everything the Lord has said. We will obey." Moses then took the blood, sprinkled it on the people, and said, "This is the blood of the covenant that the Lord has made with you in accordance with all these words." The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Lord, open the eyes of our hearts that we might see you, and open the ears of our hearts that we might hear you. And give us, by your Spirit, fortitude always to follow where you lead and always respond to and obey what you say. In Jesus' name, amen. To kind of refresh our memory on where we've been in these mornings, we began Thursday with the question, why ancient future? Why would we want to look back to learn more about where we're going? And you remember the words of Jeremiah, "Look for the ancient paths, ask for the old way." Why? We were made to remember, but we forget. And we talked about how looking back to the headwaters of worship, at that first worship service on record in Job 38, we get a sense of where we're headed that we'll talk a little bit about in the book of Revelation. The road to the future definitely runs through the past. There's so much to learn by looking back. Then we talked the next morning about how began looking at a series of dyads, pairs of dimensions about ancient future worship to try to get a better handle on it. The first pair we looked at is how ancient future worship is both Trinitarian and Christocentric. And then the next day we talked about how it always engages both word and symbol. And those of us raised in evangelical traditions are a little bit more comfortable with word than we are symbol. We're learning to become more comfortable with symbol and to enjoy engaging it and see how it can enrich our worship. And we have the symbol here in this passage this morning, at least one of them, the 12 stones. The Lord knows we need pictures. He knows we need symbol. And if you remember, we talked about how symbol is more than just the depicting of another reality. But by engaging symbol, we actually then begin to participate in the reality that the symbol shows us. Well, this morning, we're talking about another dyad for a couple of minutes. And that is that ancient future worship is both declarative and dialogical. It's both declarative and dialogical. There is something that is proclaimed. We hear the word read. It's proclaimed. Someone preaches or teaches. There's a declaration going on. But also, ancient future worship is dialogical. There's a dialogue that goes on. I was in one of the classes the other day, and one of the students was saying, why are we doing all this Episcopal stuff? The Lord be with you and also with you. Why do we have to say that? And we say it over and over. It keeps coming around. Some of the earliest chroniclers of the way the early church worshiped made a note that this dialogue was going on back then. Justin Martyr, I think, recorded it in 155. Hippolytus recorded it not very many years after that. The Lord be with you and also with you. I've shared this before here, but, old men love to repeat themselves, so hopefully you'll bear with me this morning. It occurred to me one Christmas when we had all of our kids home for the Christmas celebration, Christmas Day, and, gifts had been opened and the pandemonium that Christmas always is, you're cleaning up, gathering all that discarded wrapping paper, and they're trying to get, people are in the kitchen trying to get the meal ready, and you're trying to coordinate all this stuff happening and culminating in a celebration meal together. And it occurred to me that because our daughters and our sons-in-law had been worshiping with us in an Episcopal church for a while, I knew that they knew the exchange, the Lord be with you and also with you. And so instead of saying, when Janet gave me the signal that dinner was ready, we needed to get everybody headed towards the table, instead of saying, hey, dinner's ready, hey, everybody, I just raised my voice in the room and just shouted, the Lord be with you. And everyone turned and said, and also with you. And so we were able to call everyone's attention to go to the table to share the Christmas feast, not with an announcement, but with a blessing. The Lord be with you and also with you. And in the spur of the moment, I thought, oh, you know what? They also know from the Eucharist at St. Bartholomew's, they know the memorial acclamation. So before beginning the table grace, I said, let's proclaim the mystery of faith. And everyone just instinctively said, Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again. And all of a sudden, the Christmas feast to celebrate the Lord's nativity took on a Eucharistic dimension. We were thinking about the cross. We were thinking about the resurrection. And we were thinking about a kingdom that's coming. And our worship, our momentary worship, was dialogical. There are various ways that our worship can be dialogical. One of them is this liturgical element that I'm talking about. And as Thomas read from this account in Exodus, and I don't know exactly how this happened, but the account says the people responded with one voice when they received the law. When they received God's word, they said with one voice, all that the Lord has said we will do. And it happens twice in that short little passage. Everything the Lord has said we will do. I have an idea that in this vast multitude, that someone started it. Some brave voice stepped out and said, all that the Lord has said, we will do. And I suspect someone else heard it and said, yes, all that the Lord has said, we will do. And maybe a third person said, yeah, all the Lord has said, we will do. And someone began repeating it. And with one voice, they began responding in a dialogical way. They heard the Lord speak. They received the word from him, and they responded with one voice. All the Lord has said, we will do. I loved it that we sang from Revelation this morning. In Bob's book that most of us read together before this session, Ancient Future Worship, he talks about the book of Revelation not being just a book to try to figure out how the end times are going to play out, but talked about it being a book of worship. A book of worship. And I challenge you, I invite you to take the book of Revelation sometime soon, just skim it, flip through it, just the pages, just the way it's laid out on the page. And if you'll notice, the entire book of Revelation is dialogical. Something happens at the throne. 24 elders respond. Something is said from the throne. All the angelic hosts respond. Something is initiated from the throne. All of creation responds. The entire book of Revelation is dialogical. It's a dialogue. It's a back and forth. The Lord initiates, we respond. Just like in Job 38. The eternal Logos speaks worlds into existence. The stars sing. The sons of God shout. God initiates. We respond by the grace of His Spirit. There's another way that our worship can be dialogical. In our house church, we do the four readings of Scripture on a Sunday-by-Sunday basis from the lectionary, and I prepare a little homily that usually is shorter than what I bore you with here in these mornings. And I think of my homily as just a way to jumpstart dialogue. To me, a successful Sunday morning at Stonebridge is if people jump in and start talking about the Scriptures. Because if we actually get our hands on the Scriptures and start talking about them, odds are we might remember something we heard that morning. And we encourage the kids, too. If you don't understand what you heard, let's talk about it. If something kind of irks you, and why would God do it that way? In His Word, just speak up and say that. Talk about it. Get your hands on the Word and talk about it. Our host family, Chris and Carol Beatty, Carol is of Jewish lineage. And so there are lots of Hebrew and Jewish artifacts in their home. In our little living room table that serves as our altar, there's a little crucifix on that, a little pewter crucifix with the corpus of Christ on it. There's the bread and the wine. There's a little basket to receive some offerings. There's some info on a couple of missionaries we support. But another artifact, another symbol that's on that table is a little circle, a painted carving of four rabbis kibbutzing over Torah, because it images to us the dialogue of the Scriptures. I remembered a lecture that Bob Weber used to do here where he talked about church architecture, the importance of church architecture. And I tried to refresh my mind this morning chatting with Lester, asking Lester Ruth to help me remember to get this in context. But talking about early American worship, and Lester was guessing this is probably 17th or 18th century, perhaps Presbyterian or perhaps some group of Baptists. But in the church, the way the church was set up, there was the pulpit. Then in front of that, in the center, was a communion table that could accommodate a dozen elders or presbyters. And they would sit there, and then all the pews like we have here for the congregation. And after the word was read and proclaimed, then the preacher preached a good long sermon. Then after he was done, the presbyters or the elders did what was called witnessing to the word. And they would sit and dialogue with each other, kind of a panel discussion, if you will, about what they had heard in the word and what the preacher had said. And you know, it strikes me that that model could work even in a megachurch. To hear the word preached, read, preached, and then have a representative group to dialogue about what this means for us. Ancient future worship is declarative, and it is dialogical. So I encourage you to get comfortable with these exchanges. The Lord be with you and also with you. What a delightful thing for someone to say that to me. The Lord be with you. And it's an incredible blessing. And I have found that even our little five-year-old twin granddaughters, they can pick up those short liturgical exchanges. And already, when someone says, let's proclaim the mystery of faith, those little five-year-old voices chirp right up. Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again. At their age, they're already internalizing the breadth and depth of the mystery, the story of God.